Hello and welcome back to my little corner of Oklahoma education. It's one more week down, a few more to go. Students are reminding me that we have like 4 or 5 Mondays left, which, I mean, I get counting Mondays, but, you know, as I mentioned in my last episode, I'm not really a big fan of the countdowns in general. So, yeah, we'll get there when we get there. What else has I got to address the elephant, the eclipse in the room. Had to deal with that on Monday. And for the most part, I don't know, it was okay. I remember seeing one like this similarly like 7, 8 years ago. And what I mainly remember was like the haziness. Like it was like wearing a set of polarized sunglasses. And that happened again in our particular path of totality. It was also kind of cool to see the students getting excited about it, especially as a lot of our science classes set up some stations and different viewing techniques for students to come be a part of. I, in particular, ended up over at the Performing Arts Center because I needed to drop off some things with my wife. And I kind of hung out with her and her Theater 4 students as they were, you know, figuring things out and looking. And, you know, we joked about, you know, seeing the golden fiery banana in the sky, which, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It's kind of, that's what it looks like through your little safety glasses. And then one of our seniors, a student we both have shared in class, said, hey, let's go look at the trees. And I kind of completely forgot about that. And that was kind of cool, seeing the eclipse casting its shadows through the trees. So you could kind of see the crescent shape through the leaves on the ground. And then the stagecraft teacher was like, come over here. And we walked across the parking lot to his back door, and he pulled out a disco ball. And it was so cool because the disco ball, you don't really think about it this much, but it was reflecting the crescent shape of the sun from peeking out behind the moon up onto the wall everywhere. So that was kind of cool to see. But for the most part, I think I agreed with one of the young men in the afternoon. It was just kind of meh. You see this stuff, and if you've lived through them, then it's not that big a deal, maybe? Or, I mean, it was cool to see, but maybe it's we've lost our wonder sometimes with all of our explanations for what's going on around us. Although I did have some students who were quite concerned, worried. We got to kind of joke a little bit about, I was like, what are you guys worried about? You know, this is like your third end-of-the-world event, because I was reminded of the 2012 Mayan calendar problem that didn't happen, and then 2020 with all of that. And so this one, it's like y'all are like old hands at this point. You've survived 3 end of the world events and like racking up the achievement points before some of you can even drive. But no, it was kind of cool to see. I did have to deal with some, I don't know, I say awkwardness that day. I think maybe it's just a lot of that what I call puppy energy sometimes when there's a change in the weather or there's like an event going on, whether it be school or nature related. So yeah, I think some of them were, they just had to be reminded that, you know, we're still having school and we still got to do things. That's cool that, the moon decided to block the sun, but you know, life goes on. Enjoy the wonder and the moment. And thankfully for me, most of the, eclipse events were happening during my plane period. So yeah, got that done. What else? Oh, I'm still, I guess, unofficially kind of sort of mentoring some students as they try to work on a student club. And it was really cool. I got a chance to talk with them later in the week about, like, what are your goals? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish with this club? A big one is, like, quantity versus quality, because you hear that a lot. And, you know, helping out with student groups or helping out with church groups back in the day, you hear this sometimes, we fall into this, well, we got to have more. We have to have more people. And I always kind of push back against that, because I guess for me, more isn't always better, because more just makes a bigger crowd and for people to hide. And especially when you're trying to accomplish a goal, and that goal can get diluted in the crowd. So I was just encouraging them to decide, what are you looking for? Are you looking for quality or quantity? Do you want to have better conversations, better activities? Then you might have to be okay with lower numbers for a time. And that's fine, because you just have to identify what your priority, what your goal is. Also, the idea of, is this group that you're having on campus, is this what you're doing for the group? Or are you envisioning this is something that can go out and impact the rest of the school in some way or the other? And it was just, I think, 2 good ideas that need to be clarified. And we don't always do that when we're making our plans and our goals. We just kind of do things, what feels good, or what other groups have done, or what other people have done. And that's not always the best. I mean, it didn't always serve me the best when I sometimes like completely copied another teacher's lesson plans or ideas or PowerPoint. And it always felt just off. And I had to learn that I have to, you know, like, that's what worked for them in their class. Maybe I need to see, like, do I take all of it? Would it work for me? You know, or is it something that I need to tweak? Or if I'm being honest, if I take a look at it and realize, this isn't working, I need to go back to the drawing board. And that's okay, because it's all a process. We're all just trying to figure it out. So that was some, have some good conversations with them. And I hope I gave them something to think about and to consider as they go forward with their little group. And if anything, whether this group succeeds and lasts for who knows years, I just like that I'm giving them the experience to work through this, because I think a lot of times students are just told to like shut up and sit down and let the adult handle it, you know, and you don't get better unless you try. So giving them the opportunity to kind of figure out how do you lead a group? How do you grow a group? How do you define the focus for the group? I hope this is foundation for other great things they go on doing in life. What else? My book club is still going strong. The book club of two, I was informed by someone that that's not a book club. And I was like, I don't care. It's a book club. Me and my former student, who, my friend now, we have finished up Dostoevsky's Notes from Underground. And it was a bit of a weird book. One, it was shorter. I think he was expecting a big old long one because he's already read Crime and Punishment. And then we read Brothers Karamazov together. But it was short. It was like 150 pages, maybe 130. But though it be tiny, it was mighty in thought and philosophy. It's one of those philosophical novels where it's philosophical fiction. I think that's the proper term, because it wasn't like just explaining philosophy. It was a fiction story, but you definitely felt like you understood people and the world a lot better. It was a little awkward. We both admitted that initially, like the first part of the book, there's like book one and book two. The first part, there were some things that was like, oh, I get this. I identify with this, which was weird, because you kind of go into this book knowing like the underground man is not a good guy. And it was like, I understand what he's saying. But definitely, as we got into book two, we're like, oh, okay. Well, while we identified with some sentiment of what he was feeling and going through, we definitely did not agree with how he went about handling it. And in summing it up, and we talked about it, and I think this was the whole point of reading books in general, and this one, is it gives you an idea of what's going on. And I think I saw some reviews or YouTube videos talking about, like, rules for how to ruin your life. And just some of them that stuck out to me is, like, this dude, the underground man, he was... one of his big problems was he did nothing, but he thought through everything, like overthought through everything. And so I can identify with that. It was those times where you can sit there and overanalyze and end up doing nothing. And I think that's the problem, where you do nothing. Something for me I talk about with students and others about having to do interpersonal skills, having conversations with people. I think it can be so daunting because you overthink about, well, I'm going to say this and they say that. And then, but what if they say this? And then how do I respond to that? And you can go completely to a paralyzed state, an analysis paralysis. And I think something that I've had to work through and I pass on is all you can do is script out the opening line. Keep your goal in mind. What's your goal that you're trying to get out of this conversation? But all you can do is script out an opening line. Just like, this is how I want to start it, and then we'll just see where it goes. And always keep the goal in mind of what it is you're trying to discuss or what kind of issue you're trying to solve. And I think that usually helps out in the end, because if not, I could totally see, I'd be like that dude just sitting there going like, but what if, and then doing nothing because it was all terrifying in the end. Something else is, he, for the most part, would just evade, like distance himself from challenges and responsibility. So there are things he could have done and should have done, and he just wouldn't do it. And he would even call it out and say, like, I know I should do this, or I know I shouldn't do that, but it's hard and I don't want to, and so he didn't. And then what made it worse is a lot of times he would blame other people for it. He had some school friends that he was in a socially awkward situation, and instead of admitting like he was being awkward, he was like, I'm going to blame them, and I'm going to try and ruin their night. He met a young lady, same thing. It's like she was making him feel self-conscious, and he didn't like that. And so in the end, he was like, I'm going to punish her for it. It's her fault. It's like, No, it's not her fault. It's not her fault that you didn't take care of your business. You don't, you know, keep yourself up or keep your space tidy and clean, and now you're embarrassed about it. No, that's on you. And you shouldn't be punishing other people for that. And I think I see that quite a bit through the classroom, but also with teachers, in the sense of they complain about how their students are acting, especially as we are now in March, April, May portion of the year. And it's one of those things of, why are you blaming the students who are disengaged and don't pay attention when you allow them to be on their phones and headphones for a good chunk of the week in class? Why are you upset when all you do is show videos, or you just use Canvas assignments all the time? And so pretty much your interaction is sit down, be quiet, and do your work on your school-issued Chromebook. And then as they're getting tired of it too, and they're starting to act out, and it's just all these students. And it's like, no, it's not these students. This is a byproduct of the environment that you have created all school year. And it's like, take responsibility for that and do something about it in the years to come, instead of just blaming the people who actually are victims of your bad management and maybe even your bad attitude. So yeah, I was like, ooh, I saw that parallel, and I was like, I don't want to be like the underground man of Mustang High School. And I think this is something that I could have easily gone down this road. This dude is so intellectually arrogant, just so intellectually arrogant. He just knows the world better. He's read books. He understands things. He's studied people from his space down in the underground. And he just knows. He knows how things are done. And when other people don't live up to that, he's just so angry with them and judgmental. Just like, oh, they don't, these people talking about their stupid fashions and their jobs and things they want to accomplish later on. It's like, don't they know that that's all dumb? Don't they know they should be focusing on the special issues in life? The, I guess you could say, philosophical things. And it's like, whoa, dude, that's cool that you've thought through those things, but who says that other people have to as well? And just because you know a lot of things, and this is where I take a different path than him, because I found that the more I learn things, the more I know things, the more I realize I don't know much. There is so much else out there in the world. And even the things I do know, there are so many layers and levels to it as well. And I was so glad that I've had people in my life who maybe have checked that and helped me realize that that intellectual arrogance, that pride, is not a good path to go down. I mean, there was a talk today. Carl Jung had a quote on his on my board for an opening activity, but we ended up talking about a different one that I have hanging on my wall behind my desk, and it's basically the idea of, you know, like, know all the techniques, master all the theories, but when you encounter a human soul, just be another human soul. And what's the point of knowing all those things if you just come across as an arrogant jerk? And I think that was a good reminder from this Notes from Underground. And what are we off to now? We're The Master and Margarita, which it's a Russian novelist from 1930s, but it wasn't published until like the 70s. And it was recommended by a YouTuber, a psychologist, podcaster, author that I like. And so we're going to read this one next. I've already started it, and it's like, okay. I'm not sure how I think about it, but more updates to come. And lastly, the thing that I had been wanting to mention for a while, I watched a video about how awkward is awesome. Like, social awkwardness is awesome. And it was the author, Simon Sinek. And he was interviewing a guy who wrote a book about this, like, I guess, like, the power of awkward people, maybe? I forgot the name of the book. You know what? I'll put the link of the video in the little details below. But overall, you know, they were defining what awkward was. And for a lot of them, and this makes sense, and I identify with this so much, small talk is hard. Like, it is. I can't stand small talk. I really can't. And I don't have to, but I don't want to go down the intellectually arrogant road of everything has to be deep and meaningful. But okay, to clarify, here I am. Here I am being awkward. To clarify, I'm talking about like small talk in social situations. And the author even talked about that. He had some friends that he visited him in the new town. And it's like they were social awkward and they were so cool, but they couldn't connect. They were struggling to find connections with people, and they would often be dismissed. And that kind of like hurt his heart, because he was like, these are cool people who are loving and caring and kind and are thoughtful, but they're being dismissed because they're awkward in these social situations. Sometimes they do point out, like, but you know, you're on a stage and you do things, right? Me, you're in a classroom. What are you so awkward about? And it's like, there's a difference between classroom and then one-on-one, especially social situations. And they talk about how we awkward people study the socially fluent, which I like that term, socially fluent, because I remember doing that a lot in my my 20s and things. When you come into a situation, you just kind of have to like sit back and like, what's going on over here? Why are they doing that? Why are they doing this? And okay, people are going this way to drop off that. Okay, cool. I can figure out how to interact in this situation. And I think one, why this awkwardness is sometimes we don't think of it as awesome, especially when you're like school age, when you're going through especially middle school and high school, because the comparison game kicks in and you're over here feeling awkward and maybe you don't have the right clothes, quote unquote, right clothes, and you're not doing the quote unquote right activities. And all you want to do is just be cool and fit in. And you don't realize that you're fine the way you are. You just don't fit into the traditional mold that a, you know, American high school celebrates. Which, so, just to make sure we lift this up, advantages of being socially awkward. One, it's like we are the observers. Like we see things while we're sitting back and watching. We see what's going on. Because of that, we also see things about ourselves. We are usually typically very self-aware and we own it when we do stuff that is goofy and awkward and we can't even say it. And then we also learn to put something we have to do. And then maybe for those of you who are feeling like, I don't like being awkward. Well, learn to put yourself in situations where you know you can be best, like naturally better. Again, I've had to go through that sometimes. I get offered roles or positions and it's like, yeah, you know, the pride kicks in and you're like, I could do that and I could be really excited about it. I could be good at it. But in reality, it's like I'd be nervous as all get out and I would that would show through and I'd have to put a lot of effort into preparation and getting that done. Or I can just be like, no, I'm not that person. And so finding that place where your natural skills fit in. And a lot of us, we can come across as good conversationalists, but here's the trick, and I've passed this on to so many students who are like, I'm so socially awkward, I don't know how to talk to people. Listen more than you talk. Listen more than you talk. And that's it helps mask the awkwardness because people love to talk about themselves. They really do, and ask questions, and that really helps. But what can the non-awkward people learn from us? That you need to be maybe a little more empathetic, especially in groups, because we see those stragglers, those the people who are struggling, who are off to the side, and we try to do something about it. And if you haven't been as an awkward person, man, do that. Don't pass that on to someone else. If you find yourself on the end of a social group, but you see that person off to the side who's not, go do something about it. You know what it feels like to be that person. Something else is details matter, especially like in a team type situation. I've seen it happen so many times within a school that sometimes people don't want to listen to the details. They get frustrated. They got frustrated with me because it's like, hey, we need to worry about this thing. Because from my point of view is, why not beforehand think through all the details, or sorry if I'm being honest, overthink through the details. Because what if you identify something that you didn't anticipate? And then you can do something about it. And so your task, your policy, your procedure can be that much better. But I've sadly seen so many times where admin teams through the years, they just want to push through. They got a brilliant idea and they don't want to slow down. They don't want to slow down and listen to any problems. And sadly, sometimes you do see it, like obvious errors within the next semester or the next school year. And it's like if you would have just taken the time to listen to the people who are more detail-oriented, you could have avoided some of those overlooked issues. And more often than anything, and I think this all sums it up, is the idea that these socially awkward people, they tend to be more thoughtful and fair with others. And this is kind of like a superpower. And if I had to say that, like all of this is probably the like secret ingredient of me as a teacher. I've joked sometimes with students who are like, oh, you're so awkward. I'm like, thank you. Because I think a lot of that is like made me who I am. Someone who... though I stick out being like 6'8", I understand what it's like to be on the outside. And I've been on those on the outside and had to like push myself through and like suck it up and figure out a way in. And I would like to help people figure that out, whether it be, you know, conversations in a small group in class or just knowing that, hey, you may not fit in right now here in high school, but you're going to find your people and you're going to be fine. Like we all do. And it doesn't have to be, going back to what I said earlier to the young ladies trying to run that group, it doesn't have to be quantity. it could just be quality. And maybe that's what you realize is those TV shows and those movies who show you have to have like a whole pack of friends all the time. That's not true. Sometimes that works. And if that's for you, great. But sometimes it's about quality and having those friends who see you and get you and can be there with you in your awkwardness and find it like an adorable, lovable quality. I think that's what you should be shooting for. And I see that with my students sometimes in the sense of just being open to understanding not everyone goes through life the same way. Not everyone has the same skills, whether it be social or academic or emotional, and that's okay. And I can be there to help them figure it out. And I don't know how to pass that on, this idea of awkward is awesome and the awkwardness has made me who I am. But it's because if I'm being honest, no one's going to, like, if I could like cook this up, put it in a pill and hand it out, no one wants to take awkward pills. But I wouldn't have it any other way. It's been a great ride. And I'm looking forward to many more years of this and just trying to be my authentic, awkward self. And if that's you, just know, like, there's a path forward. You can find it. If it's not you, just be aware. We're out there. And we do have skills. And we can help. Just lean into that and help us find those situations that make us naturally better instead of expecting us to be something we aren't. Well, as always, have a day.